Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez, right?
And you've just joined us on This Is Real.
You asked earlier or something. I mean, let's talk about this, man, because I can imagine. I mean, you're doing a prison ministry thing. I mean, some people listening may get something from this.
You did say you look like the guy from Prison Break, and that is the name of my next book. So I feel
that's
this is a whole God moment still. We can't make this stuff up. Give me the six numbers of the lottery.
So look, man, if I didn't grow up, you know, doing drugs and drinking and going to jail and prison and things like that. I didn't have like a hard life, you know what I mean? But when you get sick like I have, you get the perspective of people who may have been in those situations and they want to end it all.
Yeah.
Or people that have mental health issues and they're like, I'm done. I just want to kill myself.
Yeah.
And in mid 2019, I remember I was living at my mom's house and I'm upstairs and I felt sick mentally. Like I couldn't watch TV because any little topic would make me feel like morbid or weird. I don't know how to explain it. And this is all the inflammation and infection in my brain that's causing these issues.
Yeah.
But I remember this feeling was like a cloud, like a dark cloud over my head following me around all day. And I was like, this is why people kill themselves right here. This feeling is why, you know.
How'd you get out of that? How'd you get out of that moment?
I fought, dude. So keep in mind, I'm not only battling those feelings, but I'm battling physical health ailments that I couldn't walk up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
You know, this disease is like a total killer, man. I mean, but I got my shoes on and I started going on walks. I started getting active. I started working out. I would do push-ups and I'd pass out. That's how sick I was. Like, I couldn't do anything, but
dang.
I got to the point to where I'm going to try not to get emotional talking about this.
I want you to.
Yeah.
All right.
I was...
Come experience the love that will change your life every Sunday at Get Rap Church.
Visit us at 23221 Alden Westfield Road in Spring, Texas, 77373 for 3 services at 9 a.m., 10:15 a.m., and 12 p.m.
Not in Houston, not a problem. Join us for our online service from anywhere in the world by downloading our free GetRap TV app or by visiting GetRap Church's YouTube channel.
Also, be sure to check us out at GetRap People on all social media platforms to stay up to date on everything happening at GetRap Church.
I would go on walks and I would get to like the edge of the street, you know, maybe like a block, and I'd have a heart palpitation, you know, these little zaps. And it would scare me, so I'd go home and go lay down and so on and so forth. I'd do that over and over again until finally, like, I was like, you know what, I'm going to run. And so I'd run to the edge of the block, and I'd have a heart palpitation, scare me, go home. Every day, same deal. So finally I said, you know what, like, I'm going to just run until, like, I have to stop. So I started doing that, run. And one night, I was like looking down at my phone. I was like, oh, I'm like 2 miles in. Like, dang, then 3 miles in. I'm like, man, I'm actually doing this. But this whole time I'm having these palpitations that would put anybody in the hospital. And I remember one night I said, I'll try to keep this PG. But I was like on this long run.
You could just go beep, 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 beep.
I was on this long run. Well, I'm just going to be real. I'll just filter it. I'm on this long run and I'm like mile 3 in. And I had one of these heart palpitations, and it was scary, you know, like all these things are. And keep in mind, this is before I knew what was wrong with me. And I remember, I'll just say, I put my hand to the sky, and I said, whatever this is, whatever you are, bring it. That's the most PG thing I could say.
Okay.
Bring it. And at the time, I honestly thought I just lost my mind, you know. So I ran through the pain. I ran through that feeling of like, I want to, you know, I don't want to be alive. I never had like a suicidal thought, like I'm just going to end myself right now. But I struggled with like
You did.
I don't want to be alive.
That's why yeah. you ran.
Yeah. Because
you're like, well, you know what? Let me see. And you kept upping. You're like, yeah. I'm going to die, but I'm going to run.
Well, I truly, you know, at this point in time, I had a phobia. Like I had a phobia about my body and anxiety about my health and things like that. And so I was scared about my heartbeat, my heart rate, and all these other things. But
I'm glad you didn't, I'm glad you're still with us.
Hey, man.
I mean, you're needed in this planet.
I wouldn't be having barbecue and meeting guys like you.
You wouldn't. Hey, listen, it's dope. Stephanie, what do you think? Are you been quiet? I know you're processing. I want to hear.
She's still trying to wake up. She's like, man, this guy's voice.
No, I'm telling you. She's a processor. She's a processor, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely, so I'm going to try not to be emotional.
Yeah.
Because he's the emotional one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a man. You know, used to be taught, like, you got to call those things in. But yeah. I feel like it's good to let those things out. As long as you're not led by them. You know what I'm saying?
So, no, I definitely understand. And so that's kind of why I'm, like, ping-ponging, right? Because we have one end of the spectrum and another end. And I feel like I really, not only physically in the middle, but I definitely understand and I relate. So I also grew up in church, you know. And there was a lot of churches, you know. The good thing that there was a lot of churches that are judgmental or super, like, hypocritical. And so I was just grateful that I grew up in a home where my mom and my parents were just like, we're not going to partake in that. We unfortunately had to be around it, but we didn't partake in it, you know. And so it created a weird, like, upbringing, because you did hear the, oh, well, repent if you don't do this, and, oh, you're doing that. But then you also see, like you said, you were talking about the ladies, where you're like, okay, but y'all living like this, and then y'all are saying this. And so it confusion was the word. Confusion was just there, where you're like, okay, But when I read here, it says to not be this way. But then when I go to the place where we're supposedly all believing this stuff, there's a lot of people in positions who are behaving this way. And so that's odd. And so when you were like, hey, you know, I never felt like I belonged. So I was like 21, I think, 2014, you know, when I met Pastor Juan. And it was funny because my mom was one of those that, she's Hispanic, very traditional, and piercings, tattoos, all that sorts of stuff. You know, she gonna look at you like, you're a criminal. You know what I mean? You're about to rob us, lock the door, you know, all this different stuff. And so at that time, I had sort of already, like, stepped away from my relationship with God, because I think in so much of the, you did this wrong, I didn't get enough understanding of, he can still restore you, you know, like, he can still make you new. And that's kind of his job, you know. And so because I kind of laid that judgment on myself, I stepped away to live my life how I wanted to, instead of doing the lukewarm half in, half out. Because I did that for a good while. I'd say like 4 years or so, probably like high school to, you know, 25 or so. And so, you know, really my mom met Pastor Juan. She started going to church and all of this, because we moved around. It's funny you said Porter, because I grew up in Porter. So we'll talk about that later. But, you know, it's just all these little things. But
we call them Puerto Ricans.
Yeah. For real. And so
I almost went into the whole anthem and everything, but go ahead.
Yeah, it went from you know, my mom and my dad protecting us from the toxic culture inside of the church, to then being in a place to where, you know, I get home, and he's right, I did have my head shaved. I went home, I came back from the barbershop, and I come home, and there's like all these tatted up Hispanic dudes in my living room. And at this time, we had gone through a really crazy thing in my household, because it was recession. My dad has a construction and remodeling company, and so all the housing stuff went down and all that sorts of stuff. And so we ended up moving from an acre in Porter, six-bedroom house, apartment, barn, all sorts of stuff, to three-bedroom apartment, all of us stuck in there with all our stuff and everything, right?
I remember that.
So my mom finds this dude who I thought was a Mega 101 DJ announcer, because there was this red van with this guy on the back who lived at the apartments. And I thought, like, oh, there must be some, you know, DJ that lives here. But turns out it's Pastor Juan living there. My mom meets him, and she starts going to this church. And I'm not going to church, because I'm sort of an adult transitioning here at a little bit. And I'm like, okay, well, I have my faith, but I don't really have my community. I don't really have like mm-hmm. people. They don't care about me. They're not really checking on me like that. And it just felt, you know, different. So then, like I said, I come home. All these dudes are tatted up in our living room. And one of them starts, and I'm like so curious because my mom's cooking, right? And we're Colombian, so she's always going to cook. And I'm like, okay, these people broke in or something. I don't know why all these people who she would normally like lock the door for, because yeah. she's a believer. She loves people, but still, I mean, somebody passes by that looks a certain way. She's like, they ain't up to no good, right?
Yeah.
Now all of these dudes are in the living room, and I'm like, what is going on? And so turns out they're from the church. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my sister, you know, her husband had left, brand new baby, my nephew. And so we're in this 3-bedroom apartment. Then my sister loses everything and she's got to move in. So I'm sharing a bed with my sister and my nephew. And so the guys from the church ended up helping move my sister and all her stuff in. And this one tatted up guy, Joe Lewis, shout out to Joe Lewis.
Shout out to Joe Lewis.
They're really special. You know, he starts talking to me and he's like, hey, you know, how are you doing? I was a chef at the time. Mm. And, you know, he just invites me to church. And I was raised in church. For a tatted up guy to be sitting across from me inviting me to church. Now like, I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't understand. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, he doesn't know me. Like, he doesn't know me. He doesn't. How? In my mind, I was sort of like, how dare he even? Like, I'm always the one inviting people to church, you know? So I start going, and Pastor Juan, I say this, you know, with the utmost respect to all the pastors that I've had before and stuff, but he's the first pastor that was very real, that was real, that was transparent, that didn't live a different life, didn't criticize. There was never any cliques. There was never anything. And so my mom, who mainly speaks Spanish, you know, started going to this English church. They didn't preach in Spanish. They didn't preach in Spanish. They didn't have a Spanish ministry. And she finally felt at home.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what got me back into a real relationship with Christ, you know? Yeah. Because it took kind of like that loneliness and that isolation. And I remember I share this often. It was like 4th of July. And so I was trying to live my walk, you know, with Christ. And I left these friends behind, but I didn't really have any friends here or anything else. And I was like, this sucks. I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, there's nothing. I'm not popping fireworks with nobody. I'm like, I'm not at some cool barbecues. Like, I'm not doing anything. And I'm like, this is lonely, Lord. Like, why? You know? And he just restored all of that. And he made me reach out. And it's like, if that's what you want, if you want family, if you want friends, then you need to be asking for the invites. You need to be putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. And so I did that, you know, and I ended up being his assistant for 8 years, you know.
Yeah,
and,
it was wild.
You know, I got
she
ordained.
She showed up one day. I didn't even know what assistant. I'm like, she was, what did I do? I'm like, I don't know.
I just started making coffee. I was a chef, so I didn't have to be at work till 12. And so I was like, man, and he's like, oh, well, come, you know, 8 o'clock. And I was like, man, dude, that's early for me. I'm like, because I ain't got to be there at 12. I'm like, I'm waking up like 10, you know, like slowly rolling in or whatever. And yeah, just one day I audibly heard the Lord tell me, like, you know, I need you to be here. And I just started being there and showing up. And fast forward, and I say all of that because there is hope even in like people who tended to have those tendencies of like judgment, you know. I saw my mom going from someone who would sort of look at someone sideways because they were tatted up and stuff like that. My mom's 60 something right now, and now that's just completely, and sometimes it's hard for us to have that grace or that understanding for people who we've seen sort of like forever kind of be stuck in that box, you know. And I've just seen not only the transformation in me, but in my family and my parents and, you know, my siblings and everything like that, because of people who live the word out.
Yeah.
Truly, you know? And so that's why even in like the bad stories of like churches like this, we talk about it all the time when we're like, we don't like to talk badly about the church because we are the church. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there are people who misrepresent Christ, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was funny when you're talking about the movie, I thought you were going to say Left Behind. I was like, I read all the books, you know, like as a teenager, I was like,
10 years. You're in your 20s?
I'm 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple years older.
Yeah. And so, but I hadn't heard the one that you mentioned, but I was like,
we're
you
like,
know,
don't watch it.
No, there's definitely that arena, you know, where I know I have, and sometimes it still breaks my heart too. I'll look back and I'll see on social media or stuff, and those people who were so harsh and judgmental towards myself or my brother, you know, because we were doing that double life. We're at the club on Saturday, but you know, we're not going to miss church on Sunday. So we'd be there, you know, serving and faithful. And then they're still in there. And from seeing the transformation in myself, but then also in my family, and just seeing how God took a guy who was in prison for 10 years, because like, you're like, yeah, I didn't have a hard life. I'm like, me neither. We joke about it all the time because, you know, we have a bunch of people naturally come here and are just kind of like, you know, attracted towards Pastor Juan's story, or they relate and stuff like that. And I'm over here like, bro, like, my life is good. Like, I was raised in church. I had a wonderful home. Like, we prayed every night and read the Bible every single night, you know, as a family. And so not that it was perfect, because it wasn't, but it was just like, that's those cool things where it's like, I don't have to have this crazy testimony. You know, I laughed when you said, dang, I wish it would have been something else other than a tick, because I'm like, you know, I never went to jail, you know, I never did all these different things. And so you know, I understand that, but then experiencing it for who God is, and it just brought me hope to that, because, you know, we shared the personal friend we have that has Lyme's, and man, I could never imagine, you know, but I understand that faith. And so for me, it's sometimes it kind of gives me compassion / hope, right, for those who carry out the label or the title of a Christ follower, but they're not living it. Because if you even read any of the Bible, any part of the Bible, you would know that there's so many people who suffered with Christ. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for anyone to go, and we have tons of stories, you know, Pastor Megan, I'm sure you'll meet her here soon, of people who are like, oh, you're sick, there must be some sin in your life. Oh, you're still struggling here, well, there must be something that you're doing.
Yeah, when we've even heard your kid died because you had, and it's like, what the, that's a lot of pressure.
And it crumbles your whole belief system. It crumbles your oh, well, I must be doing something wrong. Or if you're not strong enough to realize that, no, you're incorrect, like, that's not really what God says, and stuff like that. And so I've just changed that confusion into hope, because what I've seen in my family and myself, and then also just in a compassion of like, man, Lord, like, you still love them, even though they're wrong. Even though they're misrepresenting you, like, there's going to be hope that they're going to change their mind and their behaviors. And hopefully they live long enough to leave the legacy of like, man, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that, like, I treated you that way. Or I'm sorry that I led you to believe this, or I hurt you, or I never reached out. And part of that is sort of us as believers carrying that responsibility to start those conversations, to extend the apologies, even if it wasn't us who hurt you, you know what I mean? Because when we lack that transparency to say, hey, we're not perfect, hey, we missed it, hey, you know, I used to do this, or I'm still struggling with that, and that's part of why, you know, so many, we're, you know, it's, this is real, and that's why so many people are just so at home with our community and our churches and things like that, is because there has been that culture. Unfortunately, it's a culture. It's not really, you know, it's not who Christ calls us to be, because we're supposed to be there for the sick. We're supposed to be there for the brokenhearted. We're supposed to pray for the lost.
Like, love. You know, and so, hey, give them the coat and the shirt.
Proximity doesn't necessarily mean relationship, you know? And so when I hear you say, you know, you've been in ministry for that long, you know, my hope is that at one point, you know, you have that true relationship in your heart to where it's not just because we were around, you know, and there's people, there's still people out there, you know, like us, that are willing to take the hits and to admit the flaws. Because, I mean, even to this, we've been church-wise, ministry, I think 11 years. I've been with Pastor for, I think, 10. And so in that, we're still learning and growing, right? Yeah. And so we have, it's awesome to see these conversations, because there might be people down the line where you're like, man, you know what? Yeah. Oh man, we were rough back then. And we say it all the time, because
we want to thank all of our partners who support us. Because of you, This Is Real has a tremendous reach from Houston to Galveston and up to the Austin area.
This show reaches over 100 prisons nationwide, with over 500,000 inmates tuning in weekly to hear the good news through our radio show and the Pando app.
To partner with us, visit JuanMartinez.tv or download the free Get Rap TV app.
all of us have had those growing moments. Some people maybe at the beginning might have been frustrated or pissed off with pastor because, you know, oh, well, you didn't do it like this. And it's just like, well, I'm sorry, we don't have like a business degree in church building. Like, he just read the word and said, oh, we should do that. So, yeah. You know, sorry that there wasn't an order of service. Sorry that there wasn't a this. But, you know, we're, and 10 years from now, we'll have those.
I still don't know what I'm doing, but you know.
But 10 years from now, we'll have those conversations too of like, man, you know what? We figured it out here and we figured it out there.
10 years from now, I still won't know what I'm doing. You know, because it, you know, I have this saying, obviously love is a big thing for us, right? But we're talking about God's preferred choice, right? So, I mean, love always interrupts, right? You could be one moment, next thing you know, you're making a phone call. Next thing you know, you're having a conversation. Why? Because God's like, this is what I need you to do. And so the plan and the thing kind of goes, you know, out the window, because every person is in different places. You can't use one verse for every single thing.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you are, you know, walking with a brother. I think like when you were just real and raw like that, whether you had said it or not, God knows your heart. So he's like, yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
And the wild part is that just like that, isn't it wild that like he loved John before you even said a prayer? He said, yet while you were a sinner. So, yo, we smoking, we turning up. For you, you weren't smoking, but you were doing something. I feel like we're all criminals facing a death sentence. And then Jesus comes and he's like, yo, I'm, you know, I took the charge for you, basically. Sure. You know, that's the whole prison break thing, right? It's like, we think like, oh, behind bars. No, there's, when we go through things and the enemy kind of distorts the view or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Because of people, because of things we go through, and that becomes our perspective, then we incarcerate ourselves. You're literally behind bars. And that yet Jesus is like, yo, I'm gonna open the door for you. The door's been open. That's the difference. Like, I had this, I think I was typing out yesterday some stuff, and I was like, I had never seen a guy that was incarcerated, and he's sitting in his bench or in his bed, whatever, and they're like, hey, John, you made bail. Matter of fact, they just declared you not guilty. You can go home. That was like, nah, I'm good. Never. No, yo, sure, you jumping up, running out that joker. You are running out. The problem out here, see, in there, you're incarcerated until somebody opens the door physically. Out here, we the enemy lies to us. We believe the lie, so then we're deceived, and then we're incarcerated again. The difference is that when you're in Christ, doesn't matter what you go through, that door is always open. You just have to choose to walk through that, because there's always a way of escape. You know, when I was incarcerated this last time, you know, dudes would be upset because I would get up in the morning. I mean, I was facing 25 years. And so, you know, I didn't know when I was going to get out. I mean, later, but not at the moment. I'm facing 25 years. I'm thinking, oh, man, you know, I'm going to be 30s. I would have been like 65, 60, something like that. 60s. So I'm like, I'm done. You know, I am done. So I could either go that route, because it takes the same amount of energy. Or I went on the side of, there's something still there. There has to be. Because I could have died. I could have, I'm still here. Yeah. Still got everything. Yeah, I'm in a different kind of pain, but pain.
Yeah.
My kids I haven't seen in 19 years, all kinds of stuff. I ain't going to see my kids ever. Right? And they would get upset. Because once I decided to put my thoughts this way, even though they were hard sometimes, because you always had that little voice of, 25 years. You ain't getting out till you're 60-something years old.
Sure.
You ain't going to ever see your kids. You ain't never going to have a life. You ain't never going to get married. You ain't never going to... All that. Every day. Right? But I go to the thing and I would get excited. And I decided I was going to sing in the morning. So I started singing early in the morning. And they'd be like, New York. They're like, what's wrong with you, bro? Why the hell are you so happy? And I would be like, I mean...
Yeah.
They say, you locked up. They would say, why are you so happy? You locked up. And I said, no, you locked up. I'm free, bro. I'm in college. And so they would be like, college? I go, yeah, I'm coming out. I'm coming out, you know? Eventually, they did give me 4 years instead of the 25. Wow. Then that worked real good, because I was like, man, I got four years. I'm going to get a degree. You know what I'm saying? And they'd be like, mad, because I was happy. So that means I was behind bars But I decided to align myself with what God said out of our personal relationship. I forgot about people.
Yeah.
Because out of that, it helped me love my enemy. It helped me pray for my enemy. It helped me become who I am today. It helped me to know that he loved me before I even said a prayer. Yo, I was doing meth, smoking, drinking, all that. Adulterous, liar, thief. And he's like, I love you. I'm like, me? I'm jacked up. He's like, nah, I love you.
Yeah.
Because he saw something in me that was super special. And so even in this conversation, you know, I don't have to lie to kick it. We have a show like that. Check it out. But, you know, like I think you're a super cool cat. And so that's the piece, because I feel God did this and everybody got a little bit. Even you. A little bit. So you put us all together as a body and you see this full picture of God, right? And so you're that piece that somewhere in the body is missing. Right?
Yeah.
The puzzle's never finished without that piece, man.
Sure, yeah.
Grab that joke off of the shelf and put it in your bucket. You know, like you're dope, man. Appreciate and so I can't even imagine how God feels about you. And he's okay with you yelling like that and everything. That ain't tripping, because he loved you before when you never even said nothing to him. You were actually an enemy. And he's like, I love you.
Yeah.
Right? That's super dope.
Yeah, man.
That's super dope.
It's cool to, I mean, even what you were talking about, you know, I wanted to ask you, what's like, what emotion is behind all of those, like, what's a word that's behind all that emotion about the church? Like, what's one word where you were like, this is how I felt? Because I see it in my head, but I wanted to see if this is how you felt, like, about these people that you felt, like, wronged by, or, you, like, what's one word where you're like, I felt this? Not necessarily judgment or whatever, but, like, what's something, because you got emotional about it, and I saw that it's not just you got emotional about the love of this tattooed guy that was like, yo, come to church, but what did you feel before that? Where you were like, oh, I'm done with all these people.
You know, I joke around, you know, with the youth, and where I'm like, oh, you fraud. I feel like that. I feel like sometimes it was fraudulent, you know? Because you can say it's love, but then whenever the action comes for it, the time for action comes and it doesn't happen. I think that's what hurts, you know, and that's what makes me like emotional about it, because now I mean I don't even have the time or the resources to reach the people that I want to reach, you know. Yeah. Whenever I'm living out the thing that I truly know and believe, you know. And so to be able to like think back on those moments where it's like y'all didn't really love, you know.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't really read your word, you know.
Yeah,
that's the part that I'm like, It wasn't real, you know. It was fraudulent. Sure. That's what I think, you know.
Yeah, that. So to piggyback, and this is why I asked, you didn't allow these inmates to sway you in your way of thinking when you shifted your mentality.
Yeah.
And so often, especially in the church world, you gave power, and we all do it. I'm just using this as an totally. Example, but we give power to people that I wouldn't trust to vote. I wouldn't trust to drive a car next to me. You know, I wouldn't trust with my kids if I had kids. So why am I giving them power over my emotions and how I feel? Because culturally, that's what we do. When we go into church, we look to these people as leaders and we want them to steer us. So the word I kept seeing is disappointed. You know, you were disappointed because these people that you looked up to and you thought were in your corner, they didn't show up, you know, how you wanted them to. And I think that that's, as a child, as a young person, man, I was sold out. I was so in love with God. And I was like, if I said a cuss word, I'd be like, oh my God. You know, even if I thought it, dude, I was like, oh my God, God, I'm so sorry. And da 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 da. But that same mechanism that you feel to where you get emotional and you're it's clear that you're still disappointed, and you're going to continue, because that's humans. We're all, every single one of us, has a tendency to disappoint people. I mean, even with what you're doing, people's got something to say and you didn't do this, da da da. But something that I'll say about my journey, and it's something I continue to develop. I that song Scars, okay. Number two.
Don't have me make you sing it.
Number two. You'd see dust flying out. that song Scars is number two on Billboard. They still play it on KSBJ. They still play it on Christian radio. People message me all the time. Oh my God, the song, da da da. My mom is like my biggest fan, so she sends me text messages and pictures and stuff. You would say that's a big impact, right? You would say that's impact.
Yeah.
Everybody would see that and be like, man, that's impact. This guy's got a song, you know, and this band he's in, and it's touched millions of people, right? One of the most amazing impact stories for me was 15 years ago buying a less fortunate kid a guitar at a guitar store. That means more to me, knowing that I made such an impact on this kid who wrote me years later and said, hey, I'm a singer now, and I go play da 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 da. That means more to me than a number two song on Billboard.
Yeah.
The impact, the authenticity, the stuff that you didn't get. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a Jim Carrey documentary on Netflix. He's a comedian, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's one of my favorite humans.
And he's funny.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite human beings. And I've never met him, but...
And guess who we have here today? No, I'm joking.
I never met the guy, but he said something one time in this documentary. He said, growing up as a comedian, this is before he was an actor, he was a comedian. Yeah. And he said, every night, he said, I would just lay in bed, like, what do they want? What do they want? You know, what does this audience want? And he said this. He said he went to sleep one night. He woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something, and he said, they want to be free from concern. And that hit me so deeply because I was like, what does the church do on a Sunday morning? What are we doing? Are we truly impacting people's lives to where they feel better? Or are we just giving them a feel good? You're going to be okay. You know, here's a couple songs. The offering's coming around. Join our team. Da, 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 da. It's not true impact. It's not, and I'm not saying every church.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, your experience is no different than the vast majority. Your experience is no different than mine is no different because we're flawed. So any building, no matter if it's a church or whatever, it's going to be filled with human beings, mm-hmm. and it's going to be filled with flawed people that think that they're right and everything else. But what you see in this guy is authenticity.
Right.
The spirit and the soul knows the truth. They know your spirit knows if somebody's authentic or not. Mm-hmm. You just may not be conscious enough to recognize it. And so you said, oh, I don't know if I look like a pastor or whatever. Ever since I was a kid, I've had really good discernment and intuition. And so as soon as I saw you, it's like a laser beam, you know, not just the hat and the heaven can and everything else. You know, I say all that to say, we have people in power, and these people you're talking about, and these people you're talking about, and these people I'm talking about, that have never made impacts on an individual level, yet they're on stages.
Yeah.
You know, and the you're drawn to his ministry because of his individual impact.
Yeah.
And that's something I think a lot of churches and bands and, you know, pastors and whoever else need to, I guess, be more involved in is that kind of one-on-one impact that I think a lot of us crave. Because some of us, did you grow up with your father?
Mm-hmm.
You did? You have a good relationship?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
he's like, so tell me your beliefs.
No, but I'm saying, like, so many of us, even if we grew up with good parenting, I grew up with a great mom. But I had some difficulties with my father's. And so in a lot of ways we look for this leadership in this community, mm-hmm. and sometimes we don't get it. Anyway, I don't mean to
rant
about that. I just feel like, you know, we, you know, the whole, I can't remember the scripture in the Bible. It says, don't put your trust in men. You know, they'll always fail you. And I think that that's true. You know what I mean? It's like, we're disappointed because we've allowed other people to have, we haven't established boundaries, or like we've allowed other people, again, who aren't even qualified to speak into my life.
And that's the beauty of even what you're saying, right? Because we could take those things, like when you talk about don't trust in men. So when I, you know, but the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? Mm-hmm. I think the problem that we have today is that we don't have authentic relationships with Jesus, like a good personal one-on-one, like this good one-on-one relationship, right? Because he gives you all the, he's like, you could tell a tree by the fruit that it bears, right? And but if you have never tasted a mango, it's going to be really hard for you when there's a mango on the tree to be like, oh, that's a mango tree, unless you've partake, right? Yeah. So when you, and you digest peace and you go, oh, this is what peace is like.
Sure.
You know when a person comes and it's false peace, right? Or you know when a person, like you said, the feel good, you know, hey, message when, I call that we, you know, I think one time I preached a message on it and I was like, you know, we come on Sunday service and it's like, we want our hit. We're like, and then we're like, right, and I know weed real well, right? And so I also know, like, no, but that's not what this is about. Like how beautiful would it be, because you have one or two choices, right? John has one or two choices. John can go, man, you know what, this guy Jesus or God has never really failed me, him personally. He's actually perfect, but people misrepresented me, so I need to have this relationship with you. Because you have the plan, you still have that plan for me. And then I'm going to be, right? Because they always just say, well, you know, church this and church that. I heard this so many times. Now, I wasn't raised like that in church. So I'm on this weird journey, real cool, crazy journey, where they're like, well, all churches are like that. I'm going, well, why can't I lead, why can't God lead me to lead them and them collectively, us together, build something according to what we feel God has called us to do?
Yeah.
Or I go, yeah, you know, it's not going to be possible because there's no church in the planet that does it this way, right? Mm-hmm. So we are going to like maybe not have Sunday service one day and kind of go out there and serve. And they're like, what? But what about the finances? I'm like, he's going to bring it the following week. Like, we do things that we collectively feel, right? Because there's only one or two. Either I just go with the system and go, well, you know, this is never going to work, or I have this personal relationship with God so that somebody can tangibly go, like let's say you've tasted a mango and all of a sudden you come around a person and you're like, mango. And it becomes real, rather than is this even real, like, is this, because me growing up, I always saw the guys outside the movies, all that stuff, and I always thought, you know, go to church and they're like loving father, and I'm like, I didn't have a father that loved me, right? So I'm like, eh. And then they're like all this, you know, I didn't even think I understood the words, right? But they would say all this stuff, and you know, you only prayed kind of like an emergency, and everybody was smoking, drinking, and snorting cocaine, and but went to church on Sunday. You with me? So I'm like, you know, so what looked real to me was in the movie and what Tupac and Biggie said and Jay-Z and all them, right? That's what I grew up with, right? Literally them in the projects. So when you hear that and you see that, you think authentic, real. Yet over here, when they say that, I don't see it lived out. So although we're not perfect, our position could be perfection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To say, hey, my bad, you know, I shouldn't have, hey, you know, right? Like, because that's what's real. We think that Christianity is like, we're never going to mess up. We're never going to like have moments of, you know, I hate it all. The position is that no matter, you get up from the seat of a plane, no matter where you go on that plane, you have a seat number.
Sure.
And you always wind up in that seat. To me, that's Christianity, right? If I know that my position is Jesus, and when I sit back in Jesus, then I'm like, I messed up. I shouldn't have did that. Then I go to that person, and I'm honest.
Yeah.
Man, I jacked that up. I'm so sorry. And it doesn't take me 4 weeks because I have this personal relationship that I can go to in, every day. So it ain't like I'm never going to go sit there. You know, once I sit, it's like, and I'm saying this spiritually, but I'm using a regular example. I sit in Christ. I'm thinking, man, I shouldn't have said that to her. Yeah. And I'm texting her right there. I'm calling. And I always tell people, if it's longer than two sentences, you should have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I believe in healthy conflict. Because I think if you can't have a conversation about whatever, then you're not a Christian. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? I'm not a developed one. You might be an immature one.
Sure.
So I'm going to retract that. You might be an immature Christian. Right? Because at some point, this whole thing about communicating.
Yeah.
Right? At some point, I should be able to listen to you. And just because you said everything you said and you're like, I don't know. I know where you're at. So that's not your identity to me. Mm-hmm. You're John in Christ.
Sure.
You just maybe fell a little bit at a distance.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer that, like, I'm going to put us in the same boat here in a way because I think boat. Because...
Where are we going?
Where are we going?
There's a cruise generation, boat? Right, of people who grew up in church who may have been, taught wrong theology or religious things or the emotionalism, because, again, we're not going to go there, but we know it's there and all that sort of stuff, right? Who have been so far one way, right? That I think there's been like this journey that we've taken and some are still on of doing completely the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's hardcore on crystals and hardcore on tarot stuff, hardcore on manifesting and all these different
things. I'm really into Beanie Babies.
You know? And so, but it could be anything, right? That it's just like the Israelites, right? Who generation from one generation to another, it went from, oh, Lord, you know, this and that, to then they completely forgotten. They didn't even acknowledge, right? Mm-hmm. That I believe, I don't have any children either, but like when we have children, I believe that our children and their children will be those that will be authentic. Sure. That will be, you know, because we've tasted and seen, yeah. Right? We've gone into the world. We've done the clubs. We've done the partying. We've done the drinking. We've done the self, all of that. And at the end of the day, you know, you can't hide the real from the fake, right? Sure. You know, it's gonna reveal itself.
Yeah.
And that to me is like a really cool hope, because they won't have to experience the things that we experience. Because once you're in the truth, there's no denying it, you know? Yeah. We talked about it a couple shows ago, the dupe and the real one, you know? So.
Are you a songwriter? You like writing songs? All right. I see a song coming. I see a song coming.
Next week.
No,
okay.
I do. I don't think the plan's over, and I think you're awesome, and I think today you know you're awesome. If you forgot, you were awesome.
Thanks, man.
And
you're awesome.
I think Jesus loves you, bro, just exactly where you're at.
Thanks for sharing.
But I think you should... give him a call today. I think you should drive home or whatever, kind of just be like, look, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And not look from this side. Look from the side of like, you're perfect, so you probably didn't fail me.
Yeah.
I'm probably like these jacked up people. So what can I do?
Yeah.
That's really what's my part? What can I do? Because you don't want to live from a wounded place either. So what can I do from a healed place?
Yeah.
So really like, do whatever you want me to do. I'm still here. I mean, you got me looking fly with the haircut and everything. Done. Come on, you know. And so, man, I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having
me. Let me tell you something. Would you share like a quick final word of like maybe somebody that's out there going through maybe what you're going through with what you know? What would you share a word of hope with somebody that maybe is like, man, I want to quit because you've wanted to quit and God does this. And then... you're in these places again, and I believe there's going to be another this.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it is.
Well, I think the real thing that I've had to realize is like tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur type A, get things done, whatever. And what this illness for me has caused me to do is like, you know, like I'll be honest, like right now, like I need to go lay down.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
But 7 o'clock comes and I like at nighttime and I'm done. Mm-hmm. And so like last night I'm on the couch frustrated trying to get things done. Da, 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 and I'm like, man, like I need to go rest. So like somebody going through something significant, whether it's, you know, I don't know, man, struggling with faith or, your health or anything, I would just say give yourself some grace and understanding. You know, like, it's not always going to be, you know, it's not going to, there's a song, it's,
you want to sing it?
Sing it. No. We're like, you want to sing it? He always wants people to sing.
No, there's always going to be a rainy day, and there's nothing that you can do to make a change. You can pray for sunny. You can pray for sunny weather, but that won't stop the rain. Mm. You know, there's always going to, I didn't write that, but.
We're like, wow.
But the point is like, there's always going to be cloudy days. Mm. But it's not.
I had a whole another song. I had an R&B song right now in my head. On a perfect day.
No. But yeah, I mean, I would just say cling to, you know, I'm not going to get all spiritual about it. You know,
you should.
For me.
Because, well, you know that in the depths. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. You have been going to Jesus. You know how I know? Because you said 2 days ago you were hanging out with Kieran. So there's something in the depths of your soul that still goes.
He bought me lunch. That's why. No, that's the only reason why.
Whatever. Whatever. In the depths. Might not be, you know, we're going to get all neocortex and all that. Might not be right here.
Yeah.
But somewhere in there, there's that drawing. There's that drawing. And you know it in the depths.
You said something. You said something about, you know how I know you've been in the spirit or whatever said. I used to sing at this church in South Houston. And one day I wore some jeans with the knees blown out on them, you know, the rocker jeans. Yeah, yeah. And the pastor's real conservative. He's got a suit on. And he was like, well, John, you could have wore some nicer pants. And I said, I got on the mic in front of 1,000 people. And I said, well, pastor, if you prayed as hard as I did, your pants would look just like this, too. And the whole place was like, ah, you know. But no, I mean, honestly, man, just to wrap that thought up about, like, you know, encouragement. You know, you talked about, not giving up in prison.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, what I've experienced is literal prison, you know, hell on earth is what I call it. And I'm still, you know, look, the hard part about chronic illness is most people can't see what you're going through. Like right now I look fine, but internally, I mean, it took a lot for me to just drive out here. And so in a way it's kind of like hell, it's kind of like prison. It's like you're struggling really bad with something that at this point you have no control over.
Yeah.
And so just like you though, you took the opportunity to see a different viewpoint and perspective.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I would say is like, try to find purpose in the pain.
Mm.
And then
if I had an organ, I'd be hitting it for you right now,
Try to find purpose in the pain, but also give yourself time and grace and understanding, like, you know, look, today's, because I go through days, man. I go through weeks, months where I'm just like, wow, this ain't happening, you know? And I'm going through it right now. But for those people, like you just asked, I mean, I would just say that, man.
Find purpose in the pain.
Purpose in the
pain. Well, I want to thank all the real ones for, you know, watching. I think it's the whole subscribe, like, all that stuff. I always jack that up. Hit the little bell, do all that stuff. But let me tell you something. I want to thank all the real ones for constantly tuning in to hear truth. A show with real people, real problems, real solutions. And I cannot forget to thank our partners, but our partners. But ISI, you know, I always do this commercial, so I'm going to do it one more time, you know, until I figure out another thing. Got in an accident? Call ISI. They have locations all over Houston, man. And so they are all about building the kingdom. Iron sharpens iron, says it all. But they want to help us set the captives free. And where am I going to be? Carol Vance, man. I'm going to see you on Sunday. I'll see you on Sunday, Carol Vance. We're going to be there in the house. I don't think Stephanie's going this time, but we'll bring her next time. And you know what I want to do for you also is we'll play the song at the end of the show so you can see. Just listen to the words, man. Super dope. Peace.
Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, 'cause my brokenness brought me to you. And these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. Now I'm sending in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness. And I'm not
a wrap.
Thank you, This Is Real family, for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.